for joining us. And I need a lot of help in my life. Those of you that tune in already know that. I'm going to kick off on something today, and this may be a two-parter. It looks like it. The title of this is To Know His Ways. He wants you to know His ways. Let me give you a little example on this. Electricity is a good example. There's electricity in the building. Is everybody glad? Yeah. You know, in Texas, we like the cool air, the air con. And you have to have electricity to run the air con. And you let the power go out in the summer here in Texas for even a little bit. And, you know, we start hollering. Because, boy, we start sweating. Because these houses that we live in now are not designed to operate without air con. And they become sweat boxes in a hurry. But, you know, electricity's been around ever since creation. Oh, come on, you got to know that. It's been around. As a matter of fact, I heard one expert say the other day, and I don't listen to him long, but just a little bit I caught. This is what he said that really kind of intrigued me. He said, one thunderstorm, there's enough electricity in one thunderstorm to power a city for a year. Well, that blew me away. I give God praise. That blew me away. And so what I'm telling you is there's still, even though we know some of the principles of electricity now, and we're able to benefit from the principles of electricity, there's still more for us to know. There's still more for us to learn. And so it's only been about 120 years. That's short in the history of time, ever since the creation, ever since electricity's been here. It's only been in the last 120 years that we've been able to practice the principles and discover and practice the principles of electricity where it's in our homes, where it's for the mass. You understand? I've preached in places in the world where there were no electricity. And sometimes I think they just announced, you know, let's go watch the fat white man sweat. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a big difference. And there were some places where I preached that they never knew if they were going to get electricity that day or not. And when it came on, they were all excited. Sometimes it lasted just for a few minutes. But there's a number of places that don't have it. And so I'm telling you, it's easy for us to take it for granted. But there's more for us to learn. I'm going to announce this to you. God provided electricity for us to discover. Now, ignorance of the principles of electricity can keep us from the benefits. You understand that? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that it's the ignorance of truth that's destructive. I kind of found that out about kilowatt when I was in college because I lived in a little apartment there on campus. And, you know, I got a washer and dryer. And I didn't, you know, it needed to be hooked up. And somebody showed me, you know, this has got to go to this, but you need an electrician. And so I'm looking at it and studying it, and I'm thinking, this to that, I can do this. And so I grabbed my favorite screwdriver and began to hook it up, and the next thing you know, I got knocked back, okay, and found my screwdriver, and it was destroyed. And so when the guy came there that was the expert, I was complaining to him, man, I'm just going to do this and this and this. He said, well, it's good that it knocked you back instead of grabbed hold of you and held on to you, or we'd be having a funeral. Well, I got knocked back enough that I had respect for kilowatt. But what I'm telling you is that we miss out on a lot that God has provided because we don't know the principles of the ways of God. There are principles of faith, just like there's principles of electricity. And so God created principles. And let me say what a principle is. What I mean by principle is the way God operates. Now, he wants us to know how he operates. He's not hiding it from us. He's hiding it for us. There's a big difference there. For example, Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel just saw the acts of God. We want to know his ways. He wants us to know his ways. God does not operate, and I don't like religion. You already know that. I seem to refer to that fact a lot. But there's something about religion that puts boxes around God or boxes around people that say that you can't do this or God won't do this. And I want to tell you something. This is what's interesting, is that a lot of religion considers prayer like the rolling of the dice. They roll the dice and say, well, we're going to wish, we're going to beg God, we're going to ask God, we're going to pray, and we're going to roll the dice, and maybe, just maybe, we'll be lucky enough that God will choose to answer this prayer, and we'll get a miracle, or we'll get an answer. Well, that's not the way God operates. It's not a rolling of the dice. It's not a gamble. No, according to the Bible, we can know the principles of God. Let me put it to you like this. We can know the way God operates. Are you interested in that? Because he has designed you to know. As a matter of fact, it's in Luke 8:10. He said to them, to you, everybody say, that's me. Somebody said my name. No, I'm talking about you. To you it's been given to come progressively to know, to recognize, and understand more strongly and clearly. Do you get that it's a journey? The mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. To you. You say, oh, that's just for pastors. No, no, no. This is for every believer. I want to tell you, he wants you to know his ways. He wants you to know his principles. He wants you to know how to receive from him. He wants you to know how to receive. It's not a rolling of the dice. There's principles, there's the way, there's ways that God operates, and he wants you to understand those. And you can. As a matter of fact, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 4:1, that we are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards, trustees of the mysteries of God, the secret purposes of God. And you know what we're to do with them? We're to, and it's just before this, we're to share those mysteries, those principles of the way God operates. We're to entrust them to faithful people. Wow. I want to tell you, God has this for you. He wants you to know how to receive from him. Just as surely there are natural principles that we can live by. Boy, we could talk about gravity, right? And we could talk about the ignorance of gravity, right? That could be destructive. But I want to tell you, say, well, gravity is bad. It makes my scale look way too much. No, no, I'm not talking about that. Without gravity, you'd be floating off, okay? There are spiritual principles that we can live by. It aggravates me. It happened to me in a marketplace, because when I'm in the marketplace, I talk about Jesus. I look for every opportunity to talk about Jesus. Now, you may put your card up in Jesus' name. Well, that's great. Go ahead and be kind. Be nice. Be a good citizen. I've never known of anyone getting saved because you put your card up. But when you preach the gospel, when you talk about Jesus, I want to tell you, the kingdom of God uses the name of Jesus. And so I talk about Jesus. And so one man's listening to me as I'm talking about Jesus, and he said, hey, I got something to say on that. I said, go for it. He said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. We just can't understand it. I said, that's not Bible. What? I said, that's not Bible. I said, I've heard that all my whole life. I said, well, it ain't Bible. Okay, and the scriptures I just shared with you, Jesus said, it's given to you to understand and know the mysteries of God. And Paul said we're to be stewards of his mysteries to share with others. It's mysterious. The ways of God are mysterious to people that don't know him. It's a principle to know. And to those that know him, he wants us to know the principles. Can everybody say amen? So God's best has been available for us. And ever since our new creation, somebody say new creation, that's when we pray to receive Christ. My little darling and I were meeting with folk yesterday, and there were some folk that prayed the prayer the first time to receive Christ. Well, they're a new creation. You see, all that God has and all that God has said is available to them because of the new creation. Not because of their brain, not because of their education or their financial situation, or not because of their maturity or how religious they've been or their goody-goody two-shoes. No, because of what Jesus has done, they're a new creation. And Jesus qualifies you by grace through faith to receive what he has for you. Let's be honest, there's a lot of folk that are settling for less than what God has for them. A lot of folk don't know. A lot of folks say, it just don't work for me. Well, these are principles that we're going to talk about. Are you ready? Remember, it's not hidden from us, it's hidden for us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, does it say just the intelligent? Mm-mm. Those that have been to seminary? Those that are called by a title? No, any person that is engrafted in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creature altogether. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. What are we talking about? We're talking about salvation life. Wow, that's supernatural. I'm telling you, salvation life is Jesus' life. And Jesus' life makes a heaven of a lot of difference on this earth. Okay? Everlasting life. Let me tell you how Jesus described himself. In your life, he said, I'm abundant life to you. I'm over the top abundant life, more than enough life for you. That's what he said. Now, I want to tell you, that's enjoyable. Abundant life is enjoyable. It doesn't mean that you won't have any challenges, any tests, any trials, any desert time come, season. But it does mean that in the midst of those, you can still have Jesus' life dwelling and flowing in you, and even in the midst of a storm, Jesus' life in you produces his peace and his joy. Even in sad situations, Jesus can give you his joy because it's his life in you. Somebody say amen. And so when you come to him, just like this little person that prayed yesterday, they get the whole package. They don't know what all we got. We still don't know. It's part of our journey. That's why we're still here. That's why when you received Christ, you didn't just transport right on up into heaven. You're left here to discover all the treasury that he has for you. And he wants you to know it, wants you to find it, wants you to experience healing, provision, joy, peace. You know how you spell that? J-E-S-U-S. Everything Jesus provided is available to everyone that knows him. And so that's why we got to learn his principles. That's why we got to learn his ways. Because that allows us to receive of him. He's paid for us to receive, and he greatly desires us to receive. He wants you to receive more than you want to receive. Boy, that's a good picture. He loves you. Now, somebody's going to say, because I get accused of being a parrot, but somebody's going to say, well, he preaches on this every year. Well, this is for this year. The precious little woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she caught it. And may I say, sometimes it's more caught than taught. But we have an advantage over her because we have the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit, if you've received Christ, the Holy Spirit is your personal life coach into kingdom life, into abundant life. And he will personally coach you and teach you and walk you into abundant life. That's part of his role. He's a teacher. He's a counselor. But the precious little woman didn't even have this. But she practiced some principles of faith that we can operate by that will help us receive what Jesus wants you to receive, what he paid for you. Are you interested in that? If she can, we can. Amen. All right, I'm running through these scriptures pretty quick. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. There was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had endured much suffering. Much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had. Now I want to tell you, I've heard this statement, because the last part of it says, and they were no better, but instead grew worse. We've heard this kind of statement more in the last 3 or 4 years in this nation than I've ever heard. So we ought to be able to identify a little bit here. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. That's an important part. Listen about Jesus. Whose testimony are you going to believe? What the enemy is saying, what the world's saying, what the medical community is saying, what your government's saying, or what Jesus is saying? We're going to have to give allegiance. She heard the reports concerning Jesus, and this is the end result. She came up behind him in the crowd of people and touched his garment. For she kept saying, here's a principle, she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I shall be restored to health. And immediately, when she put that into practice, immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Sometimes when we're praying for people, I just ask the question, if Jesus touches you right now, would you know it? Now, I want to tell you something. She knew it. You say, how did she know? Well, there was a reaction in her body from the power of Jesus touching her. You say, well, Jesus didn't even know. Well, we're getting to that, but she knew. And he said it was her faith. I want to tell you, she learned how to flip the switch. Hey, there's principles of the way God operates. And it's by faith he wants you to learn how to flip the switch. We want to share with you this Sunday and probably next Sunday too about how to flip the switch in your life. She flipped the switch. She got it. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Immediately, when she touched him, power came. Verse 30, and Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, there's been a big question. Well, did he know or didn't he know? Well, I'm just going to go with the Bible. He said who? Now, even if he did know, I want to explain this to you. Even if he did know, there's a very important principle of faith for you to confess with your mouth what God's done on the inside of you. That's part of how we receive Christ, am I right? And so even if he knew, then he was setting the stage for her to confess with her mouth what she had received from God. All right. And the disciples kept saying to him, Jesus, come on. You're being touched everywhere. It's a big crowd here pressing hard around you and from all sides. And you ask, who touched me? Come on, Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, this transacted in the invisible, but she acted it out in the physical. From the invisible to the visible. She had something to do with it. Okay, let's stay with this. He kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I want to tell you, I want you to look at that. She was alarmed, frightened, and trembling. And she fell down before him and shared the whole truth. It came out. I want to tell you what she was experiencing, because you may not have ever experienced it, but if you haven't, you need to. is the awe of God. The awe of God. I want to tell you, there's a description in the Old Testament of the fear of God. And it's not talking about being afraid of God. The fear of God is talking about that awe of Him. That deep, overwhelming respect of who He is. And I've touched this. Been a few times in my journey where that the presence of God, the manifested presence of God was so strong that it was like there was a quietness that fell on the group. The presence of God was strong in ministering. You could hear weeping. You could hear some praying. You could hear some confessing of sin. You could hear people loving on the Lord. But there was an awesomeness in the room where that no one dared try to take over. Okay. Personally, in my room as a teenager, one particular night, I saw the glory of God. It's the first time I've ever talked about it publicly because it's one of those treasures. But I want to tell you something. I saw the glory of God. There was a glow. There was a presence in my room. And I'm just going to describe to you about the awe of God because this is the point. The point is this, is that I was so aware of the awesomeness of God that I was afraid to breathe loud. I was so aware of the awesome presence of God that I dared not move. And it seemed like hours. May have just been minutes because time didn't make sense in that. But I want to tell you, we miss the awe of God. If you've never experienced the awe of God, I want to tell you, you seek Him into deeper levels of His love. Because that's where He manifests Himself in amazing ways. And we're not looking for an experiential event. But I want to tell you, He can show you His awesomeness. And you know what? We need that. Because I want to tell you about that depth of love. And Paul tells us to seek deeper and deeper depths of love. I want to tell you what that's like. When you experience a deep enough level of God, you hate evil. You hate sin. And I want to tell you, there's just a whole lot of church life that ain't there. Come and praise the Lord, give thanks to God, sing the songs, hug the preacher, put something in the offering plate, and go on the way all week long flirting with sin. Window shopping. Oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to have a little look-see. No, I'm telling you, when you touch that depth of love, the awesomeness of God, I want to tell you, you hate sin. Scripture says that's a definition of His love, is to hate sin. You hate evil. I'm not talking about evil people. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about sin. He said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Your faith in God, your confidence in me, your trust in me, your faith has restored you to health. And then He speaks a future word to her. Boy, this is good for us. This is one of the ways of God. He says, go into peace. Man, hey, He's promised us peace. That's the benefit of knowing Him. We get His peace that passes all understanding, that doesn't make sense to the world, can't explain it, not based on circumstances, overflowing, real, true peace of Jesus. You spell that J-E-S-U-S. And He says, walk in peace. Walk in my peace. Go into peace. And you'll be continually healed. No, I want to tell you, that is what Jesus said about walking in health and healing. Is He talking about physical? Sure. Is He talking about your soul? Absolutely. And I've shared with you before, dis-ease in the heart or disturbance in the heart. Dis-ease in the heart can open the door for disease. Dis-ease. It can. I'm not pointing and throwing Bibles at anybody. If you're got sick, if you're sick, we got compassion for you. We're on your side because Jesus is on your side. And we're not throwing darts or stones at anybody. But I'm just saying there is a purpose for us to walk in peace. And peace has amazing side effects that benefit you. Be continually healed. Continually freed. And I want to tell you it's a good word because anything that the Lord does, the enemy comes to steal. And so I promise you, this little lady, now I haven't got to meet her. She's going to be one of the ones I hug in heaven. I'm going to say, you know, I preached about you every year. You showed me a lot about Jesus. You taught me how to flip the switch of faith. And you know, but when I hug her, I'll know because we know all things in heaven. But I would not be shocked because this is the way the enemy works. If the enemy didn't come back around to her body and cause a disturbance, another flow of blood. And she had to stand on the works of Jesus and the words of Jesus and practice the peace of Jesus to get the enemy on down the path. Because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal what the enemy, what God does in your life, he wants to steal it. She came behind Jesus in a large crowd and received her healing just by touching his clothes. Jesus felt the power go out, knew someone had touched him in faith. He didn't know who it was, but she had climbed over the boxes of religion before she got there. You know what? Let's back up just a little bit. I want you to think about this. He didn't interview her before this healing. He didn't ask her a bunch of questions. Do you qualify? Are you breaking a law today being here? No, he didn't label her a lawbreaker. He saw her need. I want to tell you, she saw Jesus. She believed in Jesus, had confidence in Jesus without even interaction with him because she had done this by faith. I'm going to say this because I want you to grab it. She had intimacy with Jesus without even meeting him. From a distance, she knew him. Now, I want to tell you, that ought to say something to you because a lot of people consider, well, we're from a distance. You know, we'd be better off if Jesus was here and we could go up and follow him and go around with him. And no. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. When I go away, I'm going to send another one just like me to live inside of you. And so I'm telling you, even though we can't see him physically, from a physical distance we can't see him, we can have intimacy with him. And we can know him intimately. And I want to tell you, there are people that are running all over the country getting people to pray for them and do all kind of, jumping through all kind of hoops. When I want to tell you, one of the basic things is to get to know the healer. Seek the healer. He's got healing in his wings, but seek to know the healer. You can seek his hand for healing and miss. If you grab his heart, you got it. Hey, he didn't check her rules and regulations list. He didn't ask her, did her family approve? He didn't ask her, well, have you learned your lesson yet? Oh, come on, I have to say that. Because people say that. That's one of the things religion says. Well, you know, he's teaching you a lesson. Well, if he's teaching you a lesson, don't take any medicine. Don't try to get well. Just learn the lesson, right? Don't go to a doctor. Just learn the lesson, right? No. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to be a little bit silly to show the silliness of that thought. There are principles that faith works by. She put those principles into action. In the limited opportunity that she had, and I say it like this, because we have a greater opportunity. She took advantage of it. She aggressively applied what she knew about Jesus, and she won. She connected by faith to Jesus. His power flowed. She caught it. The principles of God, the ways of God. She flipped the switch. We can too. It's like turning on the lights at your house. Okay? Now you can go down to the electric company and beg them and plead with them and offer to do all kind of stuff around the place in order to get lights on at your house. You can do that, but that's not the way they operate. Are you with me? Electricity has been transported to your home. But they're not going to come to your home and flip the switch. That's your responsibility. You may have heard about the country guy that wore out his axe chopping wood and went into town for another axe, and the guy told him, you need one of these power chainsaws. And he said, what does that do? He said, oh, man, you cut down a lot more trees in a hurry. He said, okay, I'll do that. I'm for that. He got it. A day or two later, brought it back, said, that thing is worse than my axe. He said, well, what's wrong with it? He said, I don't know, but I want my axe back. And the guy took it, primed it, pulled it, and cranked up, and he said, what's that? I don't know what that is. What is that? Because he didn't know the principles of how the power chainsaw operated. Wait. I try to be a little funny, but I'm sharing with you, there are a lot of believers that are operating on a level of poverty in this life when it comes to the things of God and the ways of God, when Jesus has already paid for everything we need in this life and the next. And we need to learn the principles of how to flip the switch. It's your responsibility at your house. And notice which house I'm pointing at right now. It's your responsibility. Jesus has already done it. He's provided power during the new creation when you received Christ. He provided his power right inside of you. But it's your responsibility at your house to flip the switch. God won't do it for you. Isaiah 45. And I want to cover this with you because I'll be real honest with you. A lot of pastors are scared of this scripture. I'm just diving in. And let me say, if you don't agree with this, keep listening. There'll be something pretty soon you'll probably agree with. Isaiah 45, 8 through 11. Now look, whenever there's usually a question to me, in Scripture about what it's saying, what it's not saying, I almost always go to YLT, Young's Literal Translation. He's one of the best with Hebrew ever. As a matter of fact, he's so exact in his translation that it doesn't read well in English. A lot of translators, I'm not complaining, I'm saying I use them, but a lot of translators will make it English-like. Easier for us to understand. But I want to tell you, Young refused to do that. He did the exact. So I want you to catch this, because you may not catch it in another version, translation, but I think Young, it's amazing what he does here. And so let's look at this. Drop ye heavens from above. This is Father's heartbeat. You say, well, we're grace people of the New Testament. You see grace and Father's heart in the Old Testament and in the New. But I want to tell you, I want you to see it here because I'm going to show you in the new. But you see his heart in the Old Testament. Drop ye heavens from above. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That's his will. That's his desire. And clouds do cause righteousness to flow. See, he wants his righteousness to flow from above to below. The flow of righteousness, like a mighty stream. Earth openeth, and they are fruitful. See, this is what... When we open our heart, our mind, our hand to the righteousness of the Lord, to the flow of God, that's when we become fruitful. And so if you're not aware of fruit, let's practice the ways of God. How does that come? Well, salvation and righteousness spring up together. It's through salvation in Him, and also the righteousness is from Him. See, the Old Testament mindset was, well, we got to provide the righteousness. No, that proved a complete failure. The righteousness has got to come from Him. They spring up together. I, Jehovah, have prepared it. God has prepared a way for you and I. This is the way of God. It's all about righteousness. It's His own righteousness. And what do we do to receive it? We humble ourselves to receive. It's through humility. It's through depending on God. Through salvation. All right, verse 9, are you ready? Now he does, he shows the opposite. See, Hebrew does this a lot. He shows his heartbeat, and then he shows how man rejects it. Because man doesn't want to humble himself before the Lord and receive. They want to do their own thing. And when you do your own thing, you have an anti-God heart. That's what self-righteousness is. You do it yourself. And so it's an anti-God heart. Let me give you another example. In Proverbs, when it talks about a fool, the real definition, because you read Proverbs and say a fool, well, that's just somebody did something stupid. No. They did do something stupid, but it was because of their heart. The real description of a fool is an anti-God heart. And that's why the description or translation of wisdom is a yes, God heart. Difference between receiving and rejecting the Lord. And so he's showing us what an anti-God heart looks like. Woe to him who is striving with his former. In other words, he's saying, don't argue or resist God. That's the wrong way. And he gives the example, doth clay say to his framer, what dost thou? And thy work hath he hath no hands. In other words, the pot doesn't say to the potter, you ain't doing this right. You need to adjust. You need to change what you're doing. See, the pot don't talk to the potter and get on to the potter. This is what he's saying. An anti-God heart questions God. It's okay to ask questions if you're in agreement with God. If you have a yes heart toward God, you can ask questions. But an anti-God heart questions God. Challenges God. Do you see a difference there? Well, he's saying, don't do this. And anybody that heard that in that day said, no, no, no. The pot shouldn't get on to the potter. You haven't created any handles on me. I don't like what you've done. No, no, that's not what we do there. And verse 10 says this, woe to him who is saying to a father, why did you have me for? Or to his mama, why did you birth me? I heard it said in the vernacular of modern day, I didn't ask to be born. Oh, okay, it's the same thing. In other words, no child tells his parents, you were wrong causing me to come on this earth. You did wrong. You say, see, he's giving an example. You don't do that. But we do that to God when we have an anti-God heart. We question him. We challenge him in our heart because he's not doing things our way. Wow. So, verse 11. This is what the Lord says. And they go back and forth. This is how the Lord shows us. This is how, connected to verse 8, how it's supposed to be. This is the way he wants it to be. He shows contrast comparison. How it's not supposed to be. This is the way man responds. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how God designed you to respond. Are you ready? Verse 11. Thus said Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, and his former, ask me the things coming concerning my sons. Now, he's just giving an example. You don't question your parents. You don't challenge your parents. The pot doesn't challenge the pot maker. But he says, but when you have a yes heart, see, when you have a wise heart, a heart that's hearing and submitted and receiving to the Lord, then the Lord says, we're on the same side. And this is a difference between agreeing with me and challenging me. So when we're in agreement with God, are you with me, saints? You can ask me of things concerning my son. You can ask me about your heritage, about your people, about the people around you. And God says, I'll give you insight. I'll give you revelation. Because you're on the same heartbeat with the Lord. You're on the same side. Wait, there's more. C- concerning the works of my hands, ye command me. Now, boy, that sounds, what? We don't command God. No, I want to tell you what he's saying. He's saying, when you're in sync with me, when your heart's in submission and yielded to me, we're on the same side. And I will have you be my voice, and I'll have you declare my words and my promises, and you will speak them with authority. This is what fervent prayer is called. You will command my words to be fulfilled. Do you see that? No, that's a big difference than the way a lot of people pray. A lot of people pray begging God, complaining to the Lord. Lord, you could do it if you just would. I've actually heard people pray, Lord, if I was you, I would do this. I'm telling you, it's a miss of not being in heartbeat with the Lord, not understanding his principles and his ways. He gives wisdom and insight, and we have his authority to decree and declare his words, his promises. With authority, you can decree my works. That's why God's saying, man, is that powerful? Is that exciting? God's power is available. His works are available. His promises are yes and amen. Hey, well, here it is. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many are the promises of God. Look at this Bible. As many are the promises of God. Hey, Old Testament, New Testament, in between. I'm telling you. As many are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer in him, in Christ. Your yes to the promises of God are in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen. Amen means, so be it. It means yes to God. You see, your yes to God's got to start with the heart. Submission and yielding to the heart, but that's how you flip the switch of faith. It's a yes. Faith is your yes to God. Now, it's inside yes, and we're going to get to this, I hope. Ooh, maybe not. It's our inside yes and our outside yes to God. And so if I don't get that far, you best show up next week so we can show you how to do the yes in, yes to God inside and the yes to God outside. Because that's what the little lady did. That's what we can do. It's one of the ways of God. It's his will for you. He's listening and waiting on our yes and amen. Because he's already said yes and amen to you through Christ. It's already been paid for. He's waiting on us to say yes and amen. Now, I want to tell you, here's a little story. I'm sharing with a little lady one time about her healing because she's had a heartbreaking journey. And she said, Brother Tim, let me just stop you for a moment. I said, okay. She said, I don't really need to hear that because I know that God knows where I live. And if he wants to heal me and when he wants to heal me, he'll just show up and do it. Well, I want to tell you, that's wrong. That's not the ways of God. That's not the principles of God. He's already said yes and amen, but he wants us to discover this treasure. He wants this treasure to be planted as seed in our heart. And he wants this fruit to multiply in our heart. And he wants us to become convinced, confident, trusting in him, where that we see it on the inside so that we can receive it on the outside. And then even on the yes on the outside, there's some kind of action to put to it. Because faith without works is not real faith. And so there's some action to go to it. And it's not action to get, it's action because we already know. That's a big difference. Man, I don't have time to explain that, do I? It's his will for you. But the principles of faith must be known first. We got to understand his ways first. And then we got to get to apply them by grace through faith. He'll even give you the grace, the strength, the desire, the power, the passion to do it. He doesn't leave you out there on your own as a lone ranger. He's with you. He wants us to receive. He wants us to flip the switch. The Lord has already provided all he's going to provide. Through his death and resurrection. Somebody say passport. Yeah, that's coming in 2 weeks, just a little commercial. But he wants you to know what all he's paid for you. That you have the passport, you have the birthright as a citizen of God, as a joint heir with Jesus, a son and daughter of the living King, to walk in his promises on this earth. You say, well, when we all get to heaven, that's going to be a great day. But I want to tell you, he's promised us heaven on earth in your heart. And he wants to manifest his presence and his kingdom in your heart and through your life to touch others. Does that say something about the kingdom of God? Okay, I got to stop right there. But you don't have to stop. You can turn your heart to the Lord today. And you can say, Lord, I may not completely understand. I want to tell you, good news, you don't have to completely understand. There comes to a place in your walk of faith where you got to say yes, even when you don't understand. You got to give allegiance to the truth, and Jesus is the truth. You got to say yes to his word, even if you don't completely understand it. You got to say yes to it in order to go forward. And I want to tell you, that's what faith is. I've got a precious brother that I love. I say a brother. He's not really saved. I love him. I care for him. He's very, very intelligent. I want to tell you, he's so smart that his brain is in the way of him receiving Christ. Because he's so smart. And he's still working the wheels, you know. Well, I just don't quite understand. I don't really know. It's just not really fitting for me. And I want to tell you, your brain can get in the way of flipping the switch. I promise you something. The little woman that touched Jesus, she didn't understand how it was all going to happen. She just did what the picture was in her heart of Jesus. And she acted on it. Flip the switch. And I want to tell you, when we flip the switch, I want to tell you, the power of Jesus flows. Because I want to tell you, when you see him and his love for you, he sees you in your faith for him. It's not works. Faith operates by his love. That's something all of us can do. He designed this for all of us, not just a few of us. You cannot dare say, well, it works for some people, but it don't work for me. No, no, no. The promises, he paid the same price for you he did for everybody else. And the promises are true for you just like they are for everybody else. But I want to tell you, we got to know the ways of God. He didn't make it complicated. He made it easy. I'm trying to show you that Jesus took the hurdle away. You don't have to climb the mountain to understand. You don't have to climb and struggle and, oh, come on. That's not God's way. He wants you to turn your heart toward him, and he will give you revelation. He'll give you insight. Your coach, the Holy Spirit, will coach you in to what God has for you. I love you so much. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name, your mighty name, that, Lord Jesus, great wisdom, chesed wisdom, will fall upon your people. Lord Jesus, you're our revelation. We want to know you better. We want to see you more clearly. We want to follow you in a way that brings you honor and glory. Lord Jesus, we bless these precious people with your love life. I just release upon each one an amazing hug of the Lord. Lord, an assurance deep inside that they're loved and that you bless them. And that, Lord, you've given them great favor. And, Lord Jesus, you want to chase them down with blessing. And so, Lord Jesus, I just bless them with an awareness of you. And I just release by your mighty grace, a drawing grace of hunger and thirst for you like never before. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in simple ways, in simple terms, you'll reveal your ways to us, your principles of operating. So we can walk in a way that's worthy of our calling. And we give you praise. And all the people said, hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord. Let's honor the Lord. Let's celebrate the Lord.